Good evening. Good to see you all. Thanks for coming out tonight to our Lenten service. And what a glorious day it has been for March the 3rd. Praise the Lord for such beautiful weather. Just a couple announcements here that are not in the bulletin, but one, the prayers for Donnie Fisher's family. This is not Don and Sandra, but this is Donnie, whose dad would have been Ernie, right? Correct. So Donnie's oldest son, Corey Fisher, is 49 years old. He passed away this morning. He had been battling cancer. Melanoma is how it started. So prayers for the family, please, during this time. Also, just a reminder about Eugene Weidenbach's services. Tomorrow evening, visitation is here from 5 to 7 with a prayer service at 7. And then Friday morning, the service will be here at 10:30. There will be lunch served afterwards, and the burial will be in Scotland Cemetery. Also, Friday morning at the very same time will be Edna Klute's funeral service up at Peace Christian Reformed Church. So we want to remember all those families in our prayers during this time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you for such a glorious day. the mild temperatures, the sunshine. We know that spring is near, and that puts excitement in our hearts. So for this evening, Lord, we just pull away here in your presence. We settle our hearts, we settle our minds for whatever kind of day it was. We are here because we love you. We are here to worship you and honor and magnify your name, Jesus, the name above every name. And as we come in this sanctuary, there's so much to think about. First, we pray for these families who have lost loved ones. But Father, we also know that because of Jesus and what you have done at the cross, we do not have to sorrow as those who have no hope. For you promise again and again in your word the resurrection to eternal life that comes to us through Christ alone. So thank you for comforting these families that I mentioned here in these days and weeks to come. But Lord, as we fix our hearts and minds upon the cross now this evening and during this season, when I survey the wondrous cross, there's so much to think about. All that you did for us, Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And let our hearts always be near to those events as we live our lives on this earth, on the other side of the cross, in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So thank you for this night, for your presence with us here. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening hymn will be number 319, Near the Cross. Let's stand together as we sing this, please. While you're still standing, there's a response that we'll have. It'll be on the screen, I believe, here in a moment from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, called This is Love. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
Thank you, Father, for your amazing love.
This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
Thank you, Father, for your amazing love.
Amen. And you may be seated, please. I'm going to read here from 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin." Amen. I guess maybe I should have left you standing, because we're going to stand and sing the Lord's Prayer, please. All right. Father, we worship you. With all of our hearts, we sing your praises. As we bring our offerings into your storehouse again this evening, we thank you for beautiful days such as this that just brightens our hearts and attitudes and puts an excitement into our step. Lord, you are our source and our provider, and we know that all we have is yours, and we thank you for your goodness in so many ways. In Jesus' name. And Lord God, we confess our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now you may be seated. And we'll have Johnny's going to come. If the children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time, Johnny is going to share with you.
Good evening. How are we all doing? Good. I have a question for you. Has your parents ever asked you to turn off your video games or turn off the TV and go do your homework or do your chores? Is it easy to do that? It's not so easy all the time. Why? Because you don't want to quit because it's fun, right? Yeah. Well, I brought this game tonight. It says, it's called Look Away. And I made this game, and a lot of you kids that go to school in Menlo know what it's all about. You probably played it before, right? You've never played this game? Well, some of you guys have, I know. Well, maybe not everybody, but there isn't enough time in the day for everybody to get in, or is it? Anyway, when we look at certain things, it's hard to not look at them. But this game here, it's easy, but it's hard to win on. But this is how you play it. It has four eyes up here and four eyes down here. And when you spin it, and there's four diamonds down here too, and those diamonds have to be covered up in order to win the game. Uh-oh, the diamonds are showing. So what I have to say is I have to look away. You don't get any gumballs. Otherwise, you would get two gumballs if all the eyes were looking up and the diamonds were covered up. So that's the look away game. This game reminds me of a scripture in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 40:26. It says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out the stars in numbers calls them by name, by the greatness of his might, and because of his strong power, no one is missing." So God is talking about the stars that he created. He named the stars, and he keeps them shining by his power, right? I have another question. If God has the power to create stars and keep them shining, do you think he has the power to cause us to seek him more and more and to seek the things of this world less and less? He has the power, yes. He can change our heart, right? Well, in Psalms, in order to do that, Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." So you're desiring video games or something. Do you think he can make you desire him more? He can. It's hard to imagine that, though, but it can happen if you love, because when you start delighting yourself in the Lord and reading his word, you fall in love with God more and more. Did you know that God looked at Jesus the whole time while he was down here on earth? He kept his eyes on Jesus. Do you know that God looked away one time? Do you know when that was? It was when Jesus was on the cross and God put our sin, the sin of the whole world, on Jesus. See, God can't be around sin. He can't look at sin. So he had to look away from Jesus. So that's the only time he really looked away from Jesus. So what came after the cross? The tomb, the grave. So what came after the grave? The resurrection. So God in his power rose Jesus from the dead, and it's that same power that raises us to be like Jesus, more like Jesus. You know, if we want to be more like Jesus, we have to get into his word, right? And when we're more like Jesus, we want to serve him more. We want to do what he says and tell others about the good news, what he did for us, right? Okay. So that's what kind of look away reminds me of. God looked away at us, we didn't have to pay for our sin, but he also looked away from Jesus so that we would have this new life through Christ Jesus, okay? Let's pray. Then I'm going to give you guys some M&Ms, okay? Father, we thank you for the good gifts you bless us with each and every day. But we are most thankful for Jesus, the gift that we can delight in throughout the day and forevermore. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Johnny, for sharing tonight. Thank you for your ministry at the school in so many ways. We're going to sing number 308 while the kids are going back to their seat. There is a Redeemer, so you can stay seated. I know, Carl, if you want to come, you can while we're singing. Going to share it with us tonight.
All right. I'd like to open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, my gracious and my glorious King and my God, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful day you have given us, Father. And I thank you, Lord, for your Son that gave his life so we could have a new one, Father. And Lord, as I present your words to me, to you, the congregation, Lord, I ask that you use me, your words, through me, the vessel, Father, that you created. I want to honor and glorify your holy name and ask for your continued guidance and strength here to each and every one. Remove all obstacles and obstructions from everyone, so, Lord, that they may hear, and that they may receive, and that they may know you better, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to read from Matthew 27, 15 through 26. I'm so familiar with the New King James, so this is the New King James version, not the NIV. So, Matthew 27:15. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, When they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was rising, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. When he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. So ends the reading of God's word. I wanted to print this message a long time ago about into the Sunday school, more or less, just about Barabbas, because I saw this one clip, a video, it's only 8 minutes, down at the prison, and it was very strong, and you will get to see it right after my message. But what I found out this winter revealed a lot more in this message, and I'm going to reveal that to you also. Now, in the Bible, there's a lot of people in there that have the same name, or they also have additional names, you know, like a nickname or a surname or one above. You know, you maybe know some people that you know them by their nickname, but by their real name, you don't really hear that much. But like one is Simon, Bar-Jonah, that's Simon, son of Jonah. That means Simon Peter. The Lord named him Peter. That Cephas, it's another name for Peter, that's a rock or a stone. In the Bible, the names have meanings, which is very interesting. And the names of the interesting ones I'm talking about is Judas. Judas means praise the Lord. And Iscariot, his last name, means the man of murder. Interesting, isn't it? So Judas Iscariot is named in the Bible also, but he's sometimes just labeled traitor or betrayer. We know who they're talking about. Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed Jesus. But there are other Judases in the Bible. There was Judas that was Jesus' half-brother. Plus, he had three other half-brothers, James, Joseph, and Simon. But Simon wasn't the Peter that I first mentioned. Then there was Judas. He was even one of the apostles, 12 of them. But he was also known as Libius or Thaddeus. And then there was Judas, the one where Saul, when he was on the road to Damascus, when he was blinded, and he held up in a house for 3 days until Ananias came to heal him, and he was staying at a Judas's house on a name called Straight. And there was a Judas also. His name was Barsabbas, and he was sent to Antioch along with Paul, Barnabas, and Silas. by the apostles. But Barabbas, the one that we know little about, and the one that took the place of Jesus, Barabbas, he was a rebel, he was a murderer, he was in prison, sentenced to die, and Barabbas means son of the Father. And Jesus was the son of the Father. Isn't that interesting? In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus has a meaning also. Jesus means the one who saves, or Savior. Christ, I found out, is Greek, which means anointed one. And the Messiah, Jesus the Messiah means, it's in Hebrew, and that means anointed one also. So Jesus is Lord. That means he is Jehovah, God in Hebrew. But there are also people in the Bible that have the same name as Jesus, the first name. One is Bar Jesus in Acts 13. He was a false prophet, a Jew who was named Elymas, E-L-Y-M-A-S, who opposed Paul and Barnabas at Paphos. There was a Jesus called Justice, a fellow worker for the kingdom of God, Colossians 4:11. This other name of Jesus, the one I ran across, was in a trivia book. And it said, what was the full name of Barabbas? And his first name is Jesus. Wow, I said, I got to look this one up, you know. And I looked in my New King James Bible, and on verse 16, when it brought Barabbas, when it says there was a prisoner they wished, notorious prisoner called Barabbas, there was an asterisk there, and I never paid any attention to it. And I went down to my notes in the bottom of the text, not the commentary. It was the scripture notes. And it says some manuscripts do call him Jesus, his first name. And I searched a lot of Bibles, and they all seem to say that. There's some manuscripts say that his name is Jesus. But that's beside the point. But Jesus means the one who saves. So Barabbas was a son of the Father, but Barabbas was also a murderer. So he saved by the sword. He fought against the Roman authorities, and that's the Jews wanted to get rid of the Romans, and they thought Jesus the Christ was going to do that. And that's why Judas was so taken over by the devil, because he had that same thought. Jesus was going to free them. Yes, he was going to free them, but not from the government, from their sins. And Judas didn't understand that. But Jesus Barabbas, just put it, the one who saves by the sword. Okay, and there's Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. And when the anointed one means anointed by God, he is the chosen one. Jesus who saves the souls of men. That's what Jesus Christ means. But what really brings to point is when you read the scriptures and you just put Jesus Barabbas in that 16 and 17, and let me read it to you. I'll just start at the beginning with 15. Now there was a feast, and the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to him, "Who do you want released to you? Jesus Barabbas? Or Jesus who is called Christ?" He was not lifting up Jesus Barabbas. He was pointing that this Jesus, which you is called Christ, is the anointed one of God. Which one do you want to release? Jesus the murderer? Barabbas? Or Jesus the Christ, which had no sin? Pilate couldn't find anything wrong with it. It was all the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, they wanted to get rid of him. And this was the perfect opportunity. This town was filled because of the Passover. And they had three executions at that time. Why would they have three executions at this Passover? It was to show their authority that this Roman government, you can have this feast here. We'll let you have that. But it filled the town with people. And it said, through these three executions, you're under our authority. This is what's going to happen to you if you don't listen to us. But it sharpens the point, what Pilate said to the people and to the Sanhedrin. Which Jesus do you want? We can sometimes ask ourselves that. Jesus that is all friendly and kind and giving, but he's also one that is just, and we need to be straight with him. As they were going through that Pilate was trying to release him, some way, somehow, he didn't feel this was worthy of a man putting to death. Because it says there in verse 17, therefore they had gathered together, and Pilate said, "Who do you want to release, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ?" For he knew they had handed him over because of envy. And even Pilate's wife came to him in that verse 19 and said, "I had a dream about this guy, and it's troubling. Don't mess around with this just man, because he is a good man." But the chief priests and the elders in verse 20 said they persuaded the multitudes to keep asking for Barabbas. And why do you think the Roman government would allow a prisoner to go free on this gathering when the Passover was? I was like throwing a bone to them that they have the power to release someone. You know, the freedom, you know, to free someone from the prison. It was a ploy by the government to release someone. But the pilot saw this for an opportunity. These people, they aren't going to take Jesus the Christ over Barabbas, the murderer. I can't see why they would want to release Barabbas. But Jesus wouldn't even defend himself there. But the reason why he didn't defend himself, what the priest said, that he was the son, he said he's the son of God. And Pilate asked, aren't you going to defend yourself? He said, nothing. He didn't have to, because he told the priests when he was on this trial in the Sanhedrin, they asked him if he was the Son of God. And he said, I am the Son of God. And he said that, the priest said, that's blasphemy. No human can be the Son of God. That's what's worthy of death. That's why he was sent to Pilate. They couldn't kill anyone under the Roman authority. They used to stone people, yes. But now they weren't even supposed to do that. So that's why they sent him to Pilate. And Pilate said, this man isn't worthy of death. What? Let it up to the people, you know. He knew the priests were way against him, but they riled up the people so bad. It was a mob, turning into a mob. And they were saying, Barabbas, Barabbas, you know. Then in verse 22, Pilate said to them, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? He's bringing it out again, the anointed one. What do you want me to do with him? They said, kill him. They said, crucify him, but that's what they meant. Kill him. The Son of God, the anointed one, outright said, kill him. And then Pilate saw he couldn't reason with this crowd anymore. It was starting to get kind of turning into a mob. And he was to keep order in that Jerusalem. And if he didn't, they would go to Caesar and get someone else to replace Pilate. So this is what Pilate did. In 22, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. In the NIV, it says, that's your responsibility. Oh, wait a minute. Pilate has the authority to kill, but he said, you brought him here. You want him killed, you do it. He's laying the blame back onto the priests. They brought him here, and Pilate's supposed to kill him. In your meditation, in your pamphlet, or bulletin, there is that. Matthew 27, 3-5, where it says, Judas, his betrayer, seeing he had 30 pieces of silver, and he came to the chief priests and elders and said, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And the priest said, what's that to us? You see to it. That's your responsibility. Oh, they were laying it, the priests were laying it on Judas. And they were responsible for putting out the ward, 30 pieces of silver, so somebody would turn them in, but they wanted to kill him. Do you see that line of trying to shift the blame? The priests threw the responsibility on the Judas, and Pilate was throwing the responsibility onto the priests, trying to blame someone else for their sin. Does that sound like way at the beginning, Adam and Eve? Adam blamed Eve for the fruit, and then, but Eve blamed the serpent. What was the serpent that tempted me? It's a blame game. And if we think we can get by with that, that's doesn't work with Jesus. But that's what was happening here. But this next verse, 25, it says, after Pilate said, I'm innocent of this blood, and you see to it. He was talking to the crowd and to the priests. And the crowd said, and all of the people answered and said, his blood be on us and our children. Wow. That's, you're standing up for the blood, but you say your children also are going to be at risk for standing up? I mean, taking this blame, laying it on the children? Does that remind you of anything of the Second Commandment? Where can I see it here? Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven and earth. Missed it here. This is for the Lord, the second commandment. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the wickedness of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. They were putting this curse. It was a curse from God that he will not be mocked. But those that hate me will suffer. And there's hatred here in this crowd. And they even said, put it on our children too, his blood. And after they said that, really, as you look at the Israelites' history, they were followed by one judgment after another. On some of their families, the blood did not condemn them, but came to save them. I was talking about Jesus on the cross. When they repented, Judas was trying to repent, but he didn't come to Jesus. He came to the priests. They were supposed to take care of it at that time. But they said, what's that to us? So Judas couldn't take it, and he hung himself. You need to come before Jesus to repent, to give your sins to him and ask for him in your heart. We even see that on the cross. Remember when Jesus was there, the first words he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then they had a criminal on his left and a criminal on his right. The one, I'll say the left, came against them. If you're the Son of God, come on down from there and save us too. But this other criminal, he said, what's the matter with you? Don't you afraid of God? Standing before it, we're condemned to death. We're condemned to death for our sins, for our robberies, for everything. We deserve it. And then this one on the right said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And you know what Jesus said, remember? Today, you will be with me. You will be with me in paradise. Remember when Pastor Mike says you can walk so far away from God, but all you got to do is turn around. He's there. He's ready to accept you if you're willing to repent of your sins and ask him in to your heart. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. Even in his misery, Jesus had the mercy on this criminal to repent and be saved. Jesus went to the cross in Barabbas' place. It also saved Barabbas. But you don't hear anything about him after that. I don't know. Did he turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness for the things he did, or did he go about his wicked ways? We don't know. But Jesus still extended that grace. I heard when I was going through this, my desk was just full of stuff. I mean, just unbelievable. And I ran across, there's two kinds of mercy. Grace. Common grace and saving grace. Common grace is that Jesus Christ extends this to all. That's the grace he puts out. But the saving grace is those who accept it. That he wants repentance and he wants your sins. You confess it to them and he will take you. Pastor Mike can't do it. Nobody can do it. Only Jesus. That's why it says it up there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, through Jesus. So Jesus, he took our place and Ravis's so that we may have that promise, that opportunity, that freedom, that privilege to be with him in heaven. So Jesus took his place. Barabbas thought he had the world. He was free. But not the real freedom that Jesus was looking for him. But he still offered it to him, and it's offered to us. On this clip, we're going to, the video, it's I don't know if you've ever seen the Bible on TV. It was a series about that, about all the things that happened in the Bible, like when he was on the cross. That's going to be shown a little bit where Pilate was talking and to the multitudes, but you won't hear the crowds or the multitude, but you'll hear Judas Smith. He's a pastor. He's going to be speaking over this. But that's what's taking place. It's the trial of Barabbas. Not the trial, but the condemning of him and standing before the crowds. So, Joni, if you want to present that.
We see the story of Jesus going to the cross and everything seems to kind of be hand in hand. And then there's this one character that seems to interrupt the narrative. His name's Barabbas. We don't even know much about him except that he's a murderer, a leader of an insurrection, a rebel. And why he's even mentioned, sometimes I'm not so sure. It's like, what? This is about Jesus going to the cross. So in this moment, Pilate thinks, I hold the destinies of these two men in my hand. I know the Jews have a tradition that on a holy day, I will release one of the prisoners on death row. Pilate stands on this audacious stage, who now presents Jesus, Son of the Living God, versus Barabbas, the thug and rebel. He says, all right, who do you want? This is blasphemy. This has gone too far. There's no comparison. This is a rightful prisoner, a man who should be on death row. He's a rebel against Rome. He leads a rebellion. He murders people. He's a bad man. He's a thug and he's a crook. He deserves the chains and he deserves the crucifixion. Jesus, what has he done but heal, restore, deliver, set free? Open blind eyes, open deaf ears, heal the lame and the leper. What has Jesus done? Who do you want? We want Barabbas. Yeah, give us Barabbas. People say, give us Barabbas. The Roman soldiers come up and they put the key in and they unlock Barabbas from his chains and shackles. And he walks down the platform, welcomed by all of his thug friends. Yeah, the people love me. Yeah, that's right. I don't even know who this Jesus guy is, but all I know is my people love me. There seems to be no conscience in Barabbas. There's no record of him turning to Jesus and saying, I owe you everything now, for you have set me free. No,
don't see any of that in Barabbas. And God knew that. Jesus stood there, silent, for he knew the will of the Father. He said, it's fine, Father. Let him have Barabbas. For Jesus knew that the Father would have to treat Jesus like Barabbas so he could treat Barabbas like Jesus. Barabbas thought it was the people that set him free. No, 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 no. It was the love of a heavenly Father. When I look at the story, I realize who Barabbas really is. That's me. That's you. That's us. And I felt, I was reading this the other day, and I felt God speak to me. I love Barabbas. I love him. But God, he's a bad man. I love him. And I wanted him to go free. But didn't you know that he probably would have never acknowledged the free gift? Yeah, but I love Barabbas. For while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God sent his son for Barabbas, even the one he knew would walk away from Jesus and his free gift and never come back. He loves him. And the nerve, the gall, and the audacity of believers to think, I got saved by grace, but now that I'm in this deep, dark place of bondage, I'm going to work hard to get myself out. What? That's the opposite of the gospel. Are you bound? Are you held under the power of this temptation, this sin, the sexual urges? Do you feel like it's controlling you? What are you going to do? I'm going to shake myself free. Stop it! No, you won't. You're no match for the powers of hell and the urges of sin and sexual temptation. You will not overcome it, and you will never overcome it. You'll just be another statistic. There's no answer within yourself. Your own marriage, your own goodness, your own discipline, your own devotion will not save your marriage and will not save your kids. There's only one, and he's the one that took your place. He's the one that stood silently on the platform with Pilate and said, yes, let him have Barabbas. Take me. How many times have I stood on that platform with Pilate and Jesus, and I'm the Barabbas, and they start to take my chains off, and I say, no, no, I deserve this. I deserve the guilt. I deserve the shame. I deserve the consequence. I deserve it. Jesus seems to look at me and say, no, son, let me have it. Let me have your sin. Let me have your pain. No, God, I did it to myself. I deserve it. My marriage won't make it. This is what I deserve. I deserve divorce. I deserve poverty. I deserve sickness. I deserve it all. No! God, I'm so ashamed. Give me your shame. But God, what if I do it again? I'll still be here. Oh, God, I don't want to hurt you. I love you. I don't want to do this anymore. Give me your sin, son. This is all we got. It's all I got. It's all you got. We can play games. We can play church games. We can pretend like some people are better than others and that's why they're blessed. Or we can all come to the honest conclusion that it's God. And it's God alone. The greatest challenge is not your discipline, your devotion, your focus. Your greatest challenge is believing the gospel. Could it be that there's a God with a love so scandalous, so wide, so deep, so vast, so high, so expansive, so welcoming, so inclusive? Let me have your sin, son. Okay. When I give him my sin,
let's stand in this empty space of forgiveness and acceptance while Jesus walks off to the cross that I deserve. I see him walking to the post to be whipped. As I stand a free man, all the attention is turned now. And I feel the love of God saying, go, son, live your life. I'll pay the price. Where did we get off thinking that we were gonna set ourselves free? It's still Jesus. It'll always be Jesus. It'll never stop being the power of Jesus. If his blood is sufficient for your salvation, his blood is sufficient to sustain you through every challenge and every sin and every temptation. Jesus is enough.
Let's pray here, and Jennifer, if you'd just play, and then we'll go into the, were you there? Heavenly Father, how can we say thanks for what you've done for us? We know that it should have been each one of us hanging on that cross. But Father, you came. You came because you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that as you say, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, we surrender. We surrender our lives again this night. Every day is an act of surrender as we live on this earth. Asking you to forgive us, asking you to cleanse us from our sin, to forgive us from all unrighteousness. And we receive your grace. We receive your mercy, Jesus. Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And thank you for taking our place. Thank you for becoming sin for us. Father, if there's areas that you spoke to our hearts tonight through the message, through the video, areas that we need to surrender, Lord, we lay them before your cross this night again. Thank you for taking them from us and working in us mightily by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to stand, we'll sing this, the first three verses, 315. Thank you. Father, we all know we were not there, but we thank you for your word that we can read about it. We thank you for the land of Israel that still is here today, where we can go and see these places. Lord, we humble ourselves before you this night. And sometimes, Lord, your power and your presence causes us to tremble as we see our weakness in the light of your power and greatness. Thank you for blessing each one who has come out tonight. Thank you for working in our hearts and lives each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And thank you, Carl, for sharing that. Thank you. Please receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his presence, his glorious presence without fault or wrinkle or stain or blemish, with exceeding joy to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and honor, majesty, power and dominion, both now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Carl.